Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place where mercy reigns and never dies. There's a place where streams of grace flow deep and wide. Where all the
praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Overseer Paulette. My computer has died. Well, praise the Lord, saints. Praise the Lord. Sorry for our technical difficulty. My computer died. However, we're up and running prayerfully, and we will fellowship on our Friday fellowship. This is Words from the Word, I am waiting on my computer to come up. But as we wait, you are on the line. However, I'm unable to put you on speaker. So I want to share prayerfully you hear me. Our promises from the first book of the Bible and in the Old Testament and the first book in the New Testament. We were sharing the promises, coming up with promises from God. And as I was exercising this life work, it became interesting how the Spirit was showing how the promises are often based on faith facts. This is one of the things that the author indicates throughout the book that we are building on, that we get our spiritual growth and development from these faith facts. And so we don't grow if we don't know what those faith facts are. So I think in this exercise of finding a promise in each one of the books of the Bible, each week, one from the Old, one from the New Testament. We start with Genesis and with Matthew, the book of Matthew, that as we do this search, and you can find it online by just typing in promises from every book of the Bible. We passed out a book for years, I Promise, book by Francis and James Hunter, promises from every book in the Bible. And it says, I promise and love God. What does the sign say? I promise and love God. And the author also has a brief introduction as it relates to these promises and how we are to appropriate them. And it is in line with the teaching from the Green Letters. I am still waiting for my computer. And so I want to share first with the song, The Cross, the words being very profound for this particular lesson, because this is when the author is turning to the cross and what happened there and what its effect should be on us. And so as the songwriter and the songwriter wrote the words to the song, it says that the cross is where hope is found. It's at the cross I surrender my life. And so that's part of what the author illustrates to us. We must embrace this surrendering of our life. Okay. So and that's a faith fact. That's something to stand on and build on, and we'll talk about that later. So Genesis, my faith fact from Genesis is Genesis 8 and 20. It says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. This is a faith, this is a promise that the Lord God in heaven made to us. And this promise helps to strengthen us in the area of time, which is one of the elements of spiritual growth and development. One of the elements is time. And to understand that time is in God's hand, and the seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night, it shall not cease. So he's letting us know that while the earth remains, and that's a promise he's making to us, that these things are going to have order, and he is going to order them in our universe. He is going to be the order of things. He is his power. It is his promise to us, the earth, as long as the earth remains, as long as we're here, there are going to be these seasons. And so there is no need to be anxious for anything because he's promised, you know, day and night. And so this is one of those faith facts and promises. It is based on time, and it should help to strengthen that element of growth and development as we develop in our walk with God. I believe that as we understand time, as we understand time as God sees it, then we get a different perspective of our lives and the things that happen in our lives and the anxiousness of completing something, getting to a point, or I've been doing this for so long, and, you know, that all that goes out of the window. And I love it because part of what the author shares is that moment by moment, day by day, moment by moment, day by day, Holy Spirit is constantly establishing these truths, these faith facts, this understanding in our spirit man to grow him and to mature him. And so to have this promise, you know, while the earth remains, seed time, harvest time, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. And then my New Testament promise out of Matthew was twofold. But Matthew 10 and 32, it says, therefore, whoever confesses me before man, him I will also confess before my Father in heaven. A promise of future as well as present. Now, and what happens later, indicating a hope that gives us a hope that at the cross we have that hope. We're not hopeless. We're not going to come before the Father or come at the end of our life and not know what's going to happen. Oh, my God, you know, is there life after death? You know, what happens after death? He clearly says, whosoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. And so there's a continuation of our life after death as the Son confesses us before the Father. They belong to me. As he claims us, as we have claimed him on earth, he claims us in heaven, and he secures for us a place there. He secures for us that hope that comes through the salvation that he won for us at the cross, but also it comes through the sanctification. He has separated us unto himself. And so that was my faith. That was my promise from Matthew. And from Matthew, there's a faith fact that from Matthew, the 11:28, and this is something that we've gleaned from several books that we looked at, but the faith fact is, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Faith fact, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And as we proclaim, declare, speak, reckon this to be true, then our lives are transformed. Our thinking is transformed. We don't view things like we did before because we have a enlightened spirit. Now we can see and walk by faith. Now we will know a God's eye view of things. So it becomes a faith fact that we can stand on. And we're going to talk about standing as opposed to building. So you're on the air. Your lines are open. You would desire to share your promises, old or new, or any faith facts. You can do so now. My computer is up. So good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Anybody?
Good morning, Minister Paulette.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm blessed. And yourself?
I'm doing well, thank you. I really hadn't gotten around to doing my promise, but I have one, atonement. I had to go dig my book out.
Okay.
Atonement is, it says that atonement is a evangelical truth predicted and promised in Scripture. And the promise is that under grace, acceptance with God cannot be bought. Let me see if I can find the scripture. The scripture that's given reference is 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. Paul reminds us that being redeemed, we are not our own, but the property of him who shed his blood for our redemption. I guess that's the old, let me get Numbers 31. Numbers. I'm sorry. Numbers 31 and 50. And my eyes are bothering me too. Okay.
Uh-oh.
Okay.
Well, why are you looking?
So,
well, why don't we look at the one?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Yes. Was someone else speaking?
No, I was telling you to go ahead. So that Christ has for sin atonement made for our sins. But it says that when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. For in the past, you know, they in the Old Testament, atonement was, they would bring different things. But all of that could not make atonement for our souls. The atonement came through Christ.
Amen. And it came through Christ at the cross. So as we look at chapter of spiritual growth and the power of the cross and what happened at the cross and the work of the cross, we do see, as Elder has brought up, that there was an atonement that happened. This atonement also brought us hope. So we're looking at the elements that were brought as a benefit into our life because of the cross, and how does that change our thinking, our anxiety, our worry, our fear, our concern, our future, our past. And so we see that this atonement has a very powerful benefit for us because it eliminates us from something that would be eternally damnation. And so we are eliminated from that. It's no longer a part of our future. So it doesn't have to be a part of our fear. It doesn't have to be a part of our thinking. But what has to be a part of our thinking is to appropriate this benefit into our spirits so that our spirits are transformed and are renewed by what Christ did on the cross. And so what an awesome promise to remind ourselves of every time, actually, that you sin, every time you fall short, every time you feel condemned or guilty, every time you feel unworthy, and the worthiness being based on yourself, and you realize it's not about me. It's because of what Christ has done. And even while I was wrong on every side, he did this for me. And so it frees us from that performance trap. So I don't have to perform, because now I'm going to become like him the more I appropriate what he did on the cross as him being my representative. The author puts it forth how for salvation, he was our substitute. But for spiritual growth and freedom, emancipation from sin, he became our representative. So as our substitute, he did that for us. We didn't have any part in that. He did it for us. He died for us. But as our representative, as that atonement coming up, we are with him in that act that happened at the cross. As our representative, we were a part of him. And so as we are a part of him and we have died to sin, then as being a part of him, we also are raised in power over where sin doesn't have any longer a power over me. That's reckoning ourselves to be dead. That comes only through a new birth. It has to be a death. There has to be, in order for something to start, there has to be a birthing. And so he births this in us, through the work of Holy Spirit. And that's one of the things that the Holy Spirit is committed to manifesting in our life. So did someone else have a promise or faith fact?
Okay. Yes, Overseer, good morning. I had Matthew 19:26, and it says, But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. And
yeah,
the faith fact is, it's with God, it's impossible. It is possible. So,
absolutely.
Moving
that's
self out of the way. Huh?
Yes, yes, absolutely. Establishing the power is not in us. The work is not in us. The work was Christ. And the awesome part I love about this lesson, we're reminded that he said that work is finished. It is, I've done everything that you need to happen in order to receive that which the Father intended for you to have when he created you. And that was an eternity with him, sons and daughters of the living God. Everything that needed to happen has happened, and Christ said it is finished. And so now we have to reckon it to be so. Reckon it to be so. And how do we do that? What are some of the things that the author puts forth right at the beginning? He says, studying these truths is hard work. Although spiritual hunger and need are prime requisites for light and understanding, the Holy Spirit does not release the treasures of the Word quickly nor easily. Deep calls unto deep. We have to be prepared, and even then there is much time, digging, praying, meditation, yearning, and experiencing involved. Spiritual reality comes in no other way. But we do. We praise God that it does come. And so when we look at this list, just this one paragraph, we are reminded and brought to our thinking quite a few things that the author has said previously to this. And one of the principles is faith, it's time, it's acceptance, purpose, preparation, being in Christ, appropriation, identifying, These are all elements of our spiritual growth and development. And this is part of what has to happen. This is the prime requisite for light and understanding. This is the Holy Spirit just won't release it in a casual setting of you reading something and wanting it, because these are deep treasures. These are treasures of the world, word. And so he doesn't release them quickly nor easily, because without them coming into a heart that is prepared for the root of the word to take place, then there is it is not bringing about God's perfect will. So he's not going to just give it to anybody so that they can prostitute it, so that they can pomp and circumstance, pomp in piety, I think that's the right word I'm looking for, paraded around, okay? These are truths. These are treasures. These are treasures that he reveals to those that have come into intimate relationship with him through faith in what he has said, in the facts that he has presented in his word about himself. They believe it. The time has happened so that it becomes established in them through their experiences, through their testing, through their temptations, through their trials, just through life's journey. These things are perfected. God is not in a hurry. So understanding that there is a time for everything, and the time tries a thing. And so the more you experience a thing, the more your response is perfected when you base it on faith facts. And so I love it when the author says, and the Holy Spirit, as you reckon, the Holy Spirit makes it real. The more you think about it, it says, and to accomplish this, you actually have to believe and experience in your faith these things that you've read. So he said, my burden is easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He has said that. How have we come to rely and depend on this? Or when it happens, when things happen and it's not easy and it's heavy and it's hard, you know, and we're saying, okay, but he says this. I'm counting on the fact that he said this to change how it's this trial or this challenge is affecting me, because he said it's easy, it's light, and I'll find rest. He said that. And so as we declare what he has said, as we proclaim what he has said, as we tell our flesh, no, God said this, then Holy Spirit will make it real. The power of God will make it real. And then that's when that peace is given to us. That's when that joy is given to us. And they say, oh, where did this come from? Because you trusted me, because you reckoned what I said to be true, because you counted on it, Holy Spirit is going to deliver on my promise to you for this peace, for this joy, for this wholeness, for this freedom from the power of sin. So as we get the faith back, as we believe, and it's, I love it because it says, in my faith fact, he says, come unto me and learn of me, and I am meek and lowly. But he said, and when you learn of him, then you have to allow what you've learned to now be a part of you. And how do you allow it is that you acknowledge the Holy Spirit, you acknowledge the God. God, make me willing to be willing, okay? I'm willing for you to make me willing, because the whole thing is you. It's not me trying to go about and make it happen. It's me surrendering my life at the cross, in death, no longer alive, but the life I live in the faith of Jesus Christ. I live in what he said is true, what he said is going to be. I believe that. One of the things that I think he shared what he's eating. One of the things that he brought into my mind was the putting on the whole armor, because one of the list of things where it says digging, praying, meditating, yearning, and experiencing is involved. Time is involved. And so when you look at the armor of Christ, armor of God, and he tells us to put it on, take this, buckle up this, fit that. These are the activities that need to happen to allow Holy Spirit, who will then make it real in our life. But we have to first know what these faith facts are. We have to know what these promises are, and we keep calling them faith facts. But these are facts in the Bible. These are things that are shared in the Bible, just like the Matthew scripture of come unto me. This is a truth that God is revealing to us. It is a fact of the kingdom. And when we believe in this fact of the kingdom, it is Holy Spirit's job, it is Holy Spirit's commitment to us to bring it to pass, to make it manifest, to make it real. It is as we continue to count on this, Holy Spirit continues to make it real. Sin need have no more power over the believer than the power that we grant, because it's only when we pull back and we believe it, we hear it, we believe it, but we can't stand on it yet. We can't stand on it. So if we don't stand on it, we can't build upon it. And so we know it, we see it there. We see it there, and we're on our way to that place in God, the only way to that place in his kingdom, in truth, where we can believe that fact. It's a process, and it's going to take time. It's going to take preparation. So there are different things that Holy Spirit and the Lord God is going to do with us, and I love it because in every book it's saying moment by moment, day by day, time. It is this commitment to time that we have to understand is in God's hands. And it is him that defines the length of time. And we can't use our definition, understanding, or concept to judge a thing, because time is in his hands. He'll be the judge of it. He will let us know when we're ready to go from point A to point B, deeper and deeper. And so when we reckon a thing, we can believe it. We see it. You know, I believe it. I believe that Christ rose from the dead. I believe it. Now, when I reckon myself to have risen with him, then I am building my life on it, through it, in him. And so when we are looking at a word, when we're looking in the Bible and we're reading these promises, when we're reading the fact that he said he would do a thing, okay, and we are believing that he will, we're hoping that he will at some point, and then at some point we grow and we believe that he will. And then as we continue in our experiencing of the hand of the Holy Spirit on us, then we know that he will. And then as we continue, we know he has already. And then we can reckon it is finished. And that just cuts the cord of every power, principality, and ruler in high place. It cuts the cord from us. He said we don't struggle against flesh and blood. These are the things that we wrestle with in our spirit. I love that armor of God in Ephesians 6, starting with the 10th, going through it, because he's steady telling us, put this on, take this, reconcile this, let your feet be fitted. To be fitted is not something you just run and get a pair of shoes and put it on. No, you got to fit your feet in those shoes. It has to become conformed to the shoe, your feet and the shoe. And that's how our lives have to be. And there, every shoe don't fit every person. And you may go and get a shoe easily. I may need a wide. You may need a long. You may need a small. You may need a narrow. But God knows what we need, and he will fit it. And that fitting comes in time. It comes in faith, us trusting that he knows what he's doing, and we allow him to do it. Okay, and then taking on, he says, put on the helmet. You got to put it on that you can't, it's just there. I know it's a good helmet, but I gotta purposely put it on and make it a part of, reconciling. Oh, this computer. Reconciling it to be, relying on it to be my salvation, relying on it to be the covering helmet, the covering my mind needs is in the word. This whole thing of salvation is the covering that we are receiving. It is available to us, but we have to rely on it, counting it to be true for us in each one of the challenges that come to us in life, not in always the big things, but in all things, the little things as well as the big things, because it's in the little things that daily we are strengthened as we embrace the truth of God. So anybody else want to give us their promises or insights you've received from today's reading at the cross? Or the cross, I say, at the cross. The cross? Okay, well then let's turn to Ephesians. Ephesians 6, I'm going to read it. I don't know if anybody out there, you can read it out of one of the, NIV or Message or Living Word, or any of those Bibles, 10 through 17.
Yes. You say Ephesians 16?
Yes. Ephesians
6. Pat, would you may read it? Ephesians 6, verse 10. Or 1 through 10.
10 through 17.
10. Okay. I was asking Minister Pat, was she getting ready to read it?
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is NIV.
Okay, stop right there.
Okay.
As you read, we're going to just stop. Okay. Now, this is a faith fact. He's saying, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power, in the might, and in his mighty power. So we have to first be convinced that God has a mighty power. Now, you may say, yeah, I know he does. Okay, where did he get it? When did he get it? How did he get it? Because that's how you get in that mighty power. You got to understand where it comes from. You have to understand why he has it, what the purpose of it is, and how is it, how am I related to it? So these are just some of the questions that we need to ask when reading. Go ahead.
Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Okay. Now, right here, he's saying, put the whole armor on. So now you find out the source of your power, or how that power is brought to you. It's brought to you by you putting on the whole armor of God. And the whole armor of God, the whole answer that God has to protect us, is in the things that are going to follow. Go ahead.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand.
Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness.
Hold on. Gird about. Now, how do you get gird about? I know that's kind of a old school word, but how do you get gird about? Anybody that ever saw someone put on a corset? Okay. But how do you get gird about? And that's for anybody on the line. How do you get gird about?
Well, if it's like that corset where somebody had to tie you up in it.
There you go. You got to have somebody to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You it's great.
Okay. Now, when it happens, it is, and we just going by, you know, this visual of, you know, a woman putting a corset on, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Is it easy?
No,
huh?
No.
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 Okay. Is it worth it?
Yes.
It is worth it once they get you tied up and then you put the dress on.
Exactly. So, you know what? So look at it this way. You saw it. You know it existed.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person that's sitting on the bed. You know, it's something I need to do. I can't do it until that becomes a part of who I am. And so now I can't just go get it and put it on. It don't work that way. You know, it comes by hearing, okay? You can't do it by yourself. Somebody else has to be a part of that process. And so you can see how he is giving us a picture, you know, of how this protection, how this freedom from sin, how this standing in the power of the might, what do you say, in his mighty power. This is what it looks like, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is something that has to be put on. You know, we do that put on, put off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because these are the things, these are all his, I'm not going to say clues, but these are all his elements of producing in us what it is we need. Continue.
Now, Minister Paulette, I just wanted to say there was another one they came out with where you could tie it up yourself. You tied it up yourself, but in doing that, you knew that as long as you had tied it up and stabilized it, your what you were trying to accomplish was going to be maintained. But however, if you didn't tie it to the degree that it needed to be, then you knew that you were not going to get that effect. So I was looking at, I said that to say, if we don't put on the girt ourselves, we know that we're not going to get the effect that is required of us in our walk.
Absolutely. Yes.
But
wonderful
if we do,
analogy. Wonderful.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, because see, we will stop short of too much pain. Like, oh nope, this is not enough. Nope. Whereas someone that's doing it that is skilled in it, no, it has to go further. It'll reshape your thinking. It will reshape your body.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, that's a wonderful analogy. And so we want to not just read things to read it and move on. Oh, yeah, I know, put on all our, but we need to get the vision. What is he communicating to us? What is God, through Holy Spirit and these inspired writers, what picture is he painting? What faith facts is he giving me so that now I can exercise it and Holy Spirit can make it real for me? And deliver for me. So continue to read. Continue.
Verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Absolutely. Verse 18. And that's exactly.
Okay.
No, just 17. Thank you. 17.
Okay.
And so that's exactly what the author is saying here when he's saying that we have digging, praying, meditating, yearning, experiencing, and being involved. The Spirit, this is what we are, that is the path we take. You know, that is the armor we have. And this is to stand. And I love it because he said, and then you're able to stand. What are you withstanding? You're withstanding the fiery darts of the enemy. That is the power and the effect of sin on your life. You're able to withstand and stand against. It puts it out. We don't put it out. The fact that we stand is not putting it out. But the fact that we have put on the armor, that we have put on the protection or the benefit or the power that Christ, the power that Christ has from being raised from the dead now become our power. And that power is what will emancipate us from sin. We're free from the power of sin. It cannot have, and that's exactly what the armor of God is sharing us with to us. It said it'll put out the fiery darts. You know, that's things that are flaming. They're powerful. They are the things that the enemy is going to send our way. But just we can't do it by studying and fasting and praying. The only thing that will do it is the armor. And that's what we have to take on ourselves. That's what we have to allow the Lord to put on us. He dresses us. He's fitting us with his armor because he knows what it is we're going to need. And so he's saying that at the cross, two things happen. I gave you something to stand on so that you're not on sinking sand and end up in hell. I gave you something to stand on. I gave you a solid rock, a place of salvation, a place of to save you from destruction. I gave you that place to stand on. But another thing also happened at the cross. And that gave us that place when Christ died. But when Christ died on the cross, he also established us the opportunity to build on where we were standing. So as we stand, we now build. Once you build, that's because we have reckoned it to be a part of my resources of wood and nails and whatever, whatever. I can build a house now because I have reckoned it to be so. So I'm able to stand on the rock, but now that I'm on the rock becomes my foundation, and now I can build. So it's not just, thank you, God, I don't have to go to hell. Thank you, I'm saved. No, I'm saved now. I can build a house that will cause others to look at the rock I'm standing on and desire it as well. I'm going to bring honor to the one that has allowed me to or has on my behalf taken the hit for me, and I don't have to go there. So now I can build. And that the way we build is in this living and allowing Holy Spirit to make it real. I love it. You do this, you know, and as you reckon, Holy Spirit makes it real. As you continue to reckon, Holy Spirit continues to make it real. And making it real, making the power of his might real in our life. People see it, not just see it, it is our life. It's not in our, it is our, it becomes our life. And it becomes us standing with our representative, I think he calls it. One place, Christ is our substitute at the cross, and then the other place at the cross, Christ is our representative. One place, only he can go. The second place, he takes us with him as he raised from the grave. to anybody else.
Overseer?
Yes.
Good morning. I am just wondering if I'm tracking with you correctly. I believe that I am. So as you use this analogy of Ephesians 6, then the reckoning is our obedience moment by moment as we find ourselves in different situations standing in the truth of whatever God's truth is for that, you know, the truth for that situation, or the shield of faith, even when we are being assaulted or attacked by the enemy, because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. So do you think it would be accurate to say that that reckoning looks like us walking in obedience situation by situation?
Absolutely. Or you know what? Realizing we can walk, because I think that's the key. We can, but understanding that we can, that's the problem. And one of the things you said against the enemy, and I appreciate that, and I realize, too, that this is in us, because this is who is not dead in us. It's not that the enemy exists in the world. It doesn't matter he exists in the world. He doesn't have any effect. His power has been... his power connection to us has been disconnected by Christ. And so the opposite says the only power that the enemy has is what we give him. And so that is what is the man, the self man, but the natural man is alive. But the spirit man that's carnal is what has to die. And so that death, that is the struggle, is against our carnal, because once we do that, the battle is won. Sin is the devil's, and he's already got his sentence. That there's nothing else to do with him. Okay, and he knows this. But the what is being attacked is our belief that he doesn't have any power on us anymore, because we are dead, we are crucified with Christ, nevertheless we live, and as we live in him. Not that Satan, that's why God says, and don't worry about it, what it looks like, because he said, you know, he'll make all things work to the good, but he's got this. And so we're using a whole different set of, I don't know, of rules, if you will. I don't know how else to put it. And we are trying to make them apply to God, and he's saying they don't. Throw that stuff away. You know, it's got nothing. You know, that is not how my kingdom works. And so that's where we are. We're learning how the kingdom works, and those old mindsets, those old thoughts, those old standards, those traditional values, we struggle with. That's what our struggle is, until we realize I'm not struggling with that anymore because I'm dead. That Paulette is dead. That's it. That is no longer a struggle. Now, is the enemy still in the world? Absolutely. Is he doing damage every moment? Yes. But he says you will be able to stand as the light upon a hill, as the ambassador for my kingdom. Because, you know, when a person is an ambassador, wherever they are becomes the property of who they're the ambassador for. So if you're an American, you know, if you're in China or whatever, and you're the ambassador, you have that part of that country where the embassy is belongs to America. And American rules apply to that one spot. It may be 1 acre, and the rest of the million acres around it and people belong to China. But that one place where you're standing is under the control and the rules and laws of America. And the enemy knows that and can't even step on that property. He cannot step on the property. And that's just the way it is with us as ambassadors. As long as we're in Christ and we're on our in our kingdom, God's kingdom, as who we really are, we're there, we're fine. Now, when we leave, you know, and we go somewhere else, and not physically, oh, I got to go out in the world. No, no, because wherever you go, you're under that power. You're under that authority. You're under the authority of heaven. God then gives us these promises. I will never leave you. I don't care where you go. You go to hell, I'm there. I am there, and I won't forsake you, and I will help you. I am your right hand. It's me, no matter where you go. These are all promises. And so these are the things that as we look at the struggle, if we look at it from within, we become victorious because Christ says, it's finished. I've done the work. Now you just have to appropriate the manifestation of the work. And Holy Spirit will make it real. And that's the bottom line. Holy, and he keeps saying, you reckon it, like you just said. You reckon it, you see it, you hear it, you believe it. Now you count on it, and Holy Spirit will, he makes my promises. He fulfills my promises to you for my peace, for my joy, for my power, for all of the things, for my rest, for my hope, for my joy. Absolutely, absolutely. Anybody else? Yes.
Ms. Paulette, I was going to say something. I thought somebody was talking now. Was somebody else talking?
Okay. No, I don't think so.
I was in reading the other books that you and I are reading. I came across something that kind of stood out pertaining to the lesson that we're doing. And it was speaking about Holy Spirit. If I can read it, and a thought just came to my mind. It reads, oh, God did something wonderful when he gave Christ at his right hand the gift of the Holy Spirit, who was to come down out of the heart of the Father in his everlasting love, and how we have degraded the Holy Spirit into a mere power by which we have to do our work. And God forgive us, oh, that the Holy Spirit might be held in honor as a power to fill us with the very life and nature of God and of Christ. And the thought that came to me was in looking at that, oftentimes Holy Spirit is a power to do works. What came to mind was us looking as Holy Spirit to empower us to sustain from sin, to sustain from falling into temptations. Looking at it more in the sense of Christ. You know, as it said, with him in us, is he, with him in us, if we could look at it in that sense, they came out with this, so what would Jesus do? So if he's, in us and looking at him, Holy Spirit, and as Christ in us, living within us, would he do this that you're about to do? That thought just came as I read that.
Amen.
Looking at it more, more than just his power to do his works or our works, but in looking at Holy Spirit, in the sense of more than that,
Yeah.
I don't know if I can express it the way it came to my thoughts.
No, you have. And that's Holy Spirit's job. You know, and we have given him another. And he's not going to do what we've given him. He's going to do what God has given. And God, the job that God has given Holy Spirit is to bring about, make manifest in us what God has declared in heaven. He's communicating it to us, teaching it to us. He's comforting us as we are corrected in learning to do it. And so it is not a trump card to get anything we want, but rather he has an agenda. His agenda is God and what God's will is for us. And so I love I think that one of the statements that the author writes, and that's his summary and purpose of this particular discipline of the cross. He says, Calvary is as much the foundation of sanctification as of justification. Both gifts spring from the same work and are key aspects of the same salvation. And so what we realize at the cross, from that statement, we have to believe that when Christ said it is finished, that he has both sanctified us and justified us. And as we believe in that justification, because we believe that because he died, we won't go to hell, then we need to also believe that because he died, we are free from the power of sin. He says we must be brought back to the basic. Freedom from the penalty of sin is by Christ's finished work. Freedom from the power of sin is by Christ's finished work. We're justified by faith. In other words, by faith we believe we won't go to hell. Now we walk by faith. By faith we reckon everything that Christ has said and done. And he said, learn of me and allow what you learn, okay, to bring you my rest. Because once you learn of me, Holy Spirit is a teacher. And you take my yoke upon you, and then you'll understand what the nature of this journey is supposed to be like for you. And it will be filled with joy and peace and the kind of perfecting grace that will cause the world to want to know, who do you know that you can be like this during times like these? And that's our desire. That's our hope. So any more inspiration?
He pointed out a lot of things. You know, he brought a lot of things to cause you to look at our thinking. And that was why that particular passage that I read stood out to me, because he brought out different thought patterns. Our thinking may not necessarily be our, you know, personally our thinking, but he brought it out that, you know, that passage, the last one, he said the believer can never overcome the old man even by the power of a new, apart from the death of Christ. And therefore the death of Christ unto sin is indispensable. And unless the cross is made the basis upon which he overcomes the old man, he only drops into another form of morality.
Yeah.
In other words, he is seeking by self-effort to overcome self. And I think that's often true. And the struggle is a hopeless one, and that's why I was saying from the other book I read, if we look at Holy Spirit and Christ, see that Holy Spirit is Christ, you know, in us, Christ in us, Holy Spirit, the power there, that power in us. Yes, he said, you know, that power within us. Then if we would look at it as such, then we would be able to realize that if we keep it in the forefront of our minds as not self, it's him that will empower us to not succumb to self, to not succumb to that.
And not just not succumb to self. No, you're right. You're right. Not to succumb to self, but nor to those self-help elements that we often put in our life. They're not going to work unless Holy Spirit brings them to us for our perfecting. But we can't just reach out to them and think, okay, I'll do this more, I'll do that more, I'll go to this conference or whatever. Unless we're being led and guided by Holy Spirit to do those things, then it just, like you said, it just leads you into another place of morality that is idolatry, because it's not God. It's not God.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think when we get that, we get to that book, and we'll see how all of these authors, the Abiding Man, the Green Letters, how they're all saying the same thing, and how one builds upon what the other says. So I really want us to think about the difference between standing on the rock and building on the rock. And, you know, we stand on our own personal, as our own personal benefit, but we build as a benefit for the kingdom. And so, and that's what the cross was. It was a personal victory, but it was also a victory for the kingdom. And so we got it, you know, and we cannot just be, we shall not be satisfied with just us having it, because that doesn't bring glory and honor to God. But the more people that see him through us and get to desire him through what they've seen Holy Spirit bring in our life, then they will want it as well. They will want him.
Yes.
They will worship him as well, as well. So,
and
I
think the book just points out to us a lot of our mindset, especially this, our mindset, and I think our minds just need to be, I don't know what word to use, but
it's
a mindset.
It's renewed. We have to have a renewed mind. We have the mind of Christ. And if you know what the author says, this isn't easy. This isn't reading and, oh, okay. It's like, what? You know, I mean, it's a struggle. And then in Ephesians, it says, you don't wrestle. This is not flesh and blood you're wrestling against. So you're going to have this struggle. But I'm going to tell you how to be victorious. And yet it's like it's a continual. It is. Don't think you can do it now. I got it and I'm gone. No. This is a nonstop continual, because it's a relationship. It is moment by moment. So I'm not trying to do this so that for the rest of my life I'm this, that, or the other. No, I'm trying to do this so that this moment, as his hand is on me, this moment, he is addressing what is harmful to me, because that's what the Abiding Christ book says. Moment by moment, day by day, his hand is on us, evaluating and looking and pruning and watering and perfecting those things that could, anything he see, anything that may be hurtful or harmful. And so he brings it to the forefront through Holy Spirit. And so it is that relationship that brings perfection, but it's that it is abiding in that relationship that brings intimacy with Christ, intimacy with God. And then that is what is the necessary preparation for the bride of Christ. That's who he's coming back for. And so we're you know, the virgin that got oil in the lamp, and we waiting on him to open the door. And when he opened the door, we want to be ready. We want to have received all of the preparation, all the maturing, all of the grace that has transformed our minds, so that when we get with the bride, groom, we're on one accord. Because otherwise, we'll get with Christ, and it's like, oh, well, nah, in that area, I'm not doing that. Well, I'm not feeling that. That's not, you know, you know how a married couple is. They may be on one accord on a lot of things or on some things, but some things, it's like, oh, no. No, when we get with Christ as the bridegroom and the bride, we're going to all have the mind of Christ. We're going to be on one accord.
Okay.
And that's the job
of
Holy Spirit to bring us to that place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anybody else? Amen.
I didn't hear Apostle this morning.
Well, she's there. You know, she doesn't really like.
I am listening. I am just receiving the truth so that it can be processed in my spirit.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right, then. Well, enjoy our wonderful weather. It's sunny. It's warm. Or at least it's above freezing. It's out of the single digits. And we give glory to God. He said he brings, what is my promise? Let's see. He says he brings, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease. You know what? And I depend on that. We depend on waking up and it being a new day. Hallelujah. We actually depend on winter to come in wintertime in Chicago. So if it was 100 degrees now, we would be off kilter. So some things we
wouldn't
be true. Well, you might. If it was 90, yes, you would mind it. However, it's January, and he said he cold and heat, hallelujah, winter and summer.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just thank him for his promises because he knows what we need. Seed time, you can't have seed time and harvest if you don't have cold and heat and you don't have spring and not spring, summer and winter.
Cold
and
summer.
Amen. You know, wintertime is when the ground rests. Absolutely. That's when the ground rests so that you can get a harvest. Praise the Lord. All right, saints.
Amen. All right.
Enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit. And
Amen.
Everybody, y'all come. Those that didn't share their promises from a book of the Bible, I would like for us to go Genesis, Exodus, and Mark. Find a promise in the book of Exodus. And a promise in the book of Mark and of faith that we may build on. Amen. Enjoy the ministry of Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God bless.
God bless you, my sisters in Christ.